Oh, and welcome to another episode of Untangling. Hope the audience enjoyed last week's episode, and we finally did it. Over 1,000 downloads of the show. And I took a couple of screenshots, sent it to some close friends, like, talk about a milestone. So Untangling has been downloaded over 1,000 times from all the episodes that I've produced. And again, the great news is that it's organic. There's no advertising. It's simply word of mouth. It's subscribing. So thank you to the listening audience. What I have in store for the audience today. So today, just again, a lot happening. It is so crazy in America. Today's August 12th, and one of the things that is just dominating the news is the raid that Donald Trump called it, whereas it's really a legal search and seize. That's actually the real definition for it, of an ex-president. So I was watching the news, and somebody, it kind of hit them. They go, I'm holding a copy of a warrant for the ex-president of the United States. So we'll probably talk about that later in the show. Like I said, it's exhausting and that's not my focus, but because it does dominate our world, I clearly will talk in regards to that. One of the things that I really struggle with is I listen to a radio show every day at 2 o'clock, and her name's actually Karen Hunter, and she's just so great at what she does. And I understand the whole kind of being overwhelmed with Donald Trump in the news every day, but I just felt like, and I'm not producing her show because she's, I'm telling you, she's A plus at what she does. But I also feel like you have to also always understand what's going on around you. I think too many shows are programmed where, hey, here's what we do. Here's our niche. We got to stick to it. And then something that's happening where the ex-president is being investigated is just like, okay, let's just stick to this today where we stay away from that. Like, this is historic. And I don't care what the show is. I don't care if it's a sports show. You should be talking about what is going on in the world today. Because I think what it does is, even though some people are like, I'm going to tune in because I want to avoid politics, you also have to show people you're connected with what's going on. And I don't mean to pick on Karen Hunter. Like, she's great. She has talked about Donald Trump like every show. And I get it. But with what's going on, it's just like, okay, you know what? Instead of listening to this show, I'm going to tune into the news because this is going to impact all of us. So again, we'll talk about that later. I'll start the show off with work. So again, I always tell the Untangling audience, I am in the healthcare space. So I'm part of an organization that has what's called a vertically integrated healthcare system. And also they have an insurance arm. I'm in the insurance arm part of it. So it's a really interesting business model. It is a top-tier hospital in the country, and they have an insurance arm. So they have both. They have the hospital and they have the insurance. But I'm telling you that because today, you know, I had my boss reach out, hey, would you like to just go do some golf? And I said, yeah, not a problem. And we actually play 9 holes. So for all of you who want to get out and play golf, I recommend 9 holes. I've always done 18 holes, and I truly always felt like it took up the whole day. So it's like, we'll do 9 holes, and this course, it's literally par 3s, and there's 1 par 4. So for those of you who aren't familiar with golf, with a course, you could have a par 5, par 4, par 3. They're all included, and sometimes it could just take hours to finish a game. But with this par 3 course and a 1 par before our course, we were able, it was myself, my boss, and another colleague, we're able to get done in an hour and a half, and it's literally right behind our work. And I'm like, I told my boss, I'm like, I might be doing this on my lunch break. And today, I just felt great. In regards to swinging, I was driving the ball like you wouldn't believe. Like, people are like, whoa, you gotta be kidding me. And we usually play scramble. And scramble, the reason why I enjoy it is you usually have a team of four golfers. And one thing about golf is everybody is good at something. So I'm really good at driving and I'm really good at putting. The mid-range is a little difficult. And so whatever you're good at, you kind of feed off the other person. So if somebody's good at the mid-range, great, we're gonna play that ball. If I'm good at driving, that was an amazing drive, we're gonna play that ball. If somebody's great at putting, you take that putt. And so scramble like really helps the game go by faster if you're playing 18, but playing nine holes might have changed my life forever. But back to our work. So today we got news that our CEO, and it's so confusing. I can't even begin to explain to the untangling audience, so we could untangle it actually right now. So the way that it works is, you have the hospital. We have a CEO in the hospital. We have a CFO. We have a COO. So the COO of the hospital is also the CEO of the health plan, which is where I work. And then on the health plan, we have a COO and a CFO, okay? So here's where it gets a little confusing. So the COO of the hospital was playing a dual role. So his title was CEO of our health plan and COO of the hospital. And it's funny because I actually met an ex-colleague, actuarial director, for breakfast this morning. And, you know, he retired. Just a great guy. And he's just like, Charles, what's new? I go, hey, I was actually running a little bit late because, you know, a lot of big news came down in the organization. He's like, oh no, what happened? I'm like, our CEO stepped down and named a new successor. And he looked at me and said, Charles, before I retired, I asked myself, how long can somebody keep this up? A dual role of a $2.5 billion to a $3 billion organization. Being a CEO is hard enough, and then you have to go be a COO on the hospital side. He said, I'm shocked that it took this long. I thought it would have happened sooner, but it's no surprise to anybody. So the good news is, on my side of the business, which is the health plan side, the CEO is somebody I've actually worked really close with, and she is just a great person who has a lot of great ideas. And I think with her history with the health plan, you couldn't have picked a better CEO. And on top of that, she's actually a CEO for another private personal company. So for those of you who are listening to the show, if you feel like, man, if people are COO and CEOs or two CEOs to two different companies, I got to step up my game. That would be a understatement. But no, all kidding aside, again, I've had chances to move. I've had chances to get better opportunity. There's always something great about being great at what you do and also work-life balance. And that's a lesson I had to learn towards the end. Not the end, but the tail end of trying to climb that corporate ladder. But it is a very, very valuable lesson. So I'm extremely happy where I am. I'll sit, let the chips fall where they may. But just a lot happening in regards to work, not to mention everything else going on with open enrollment, annual enrollment period that are about to launch on October 15th and on November 1st. So that's what I've been up to. Luckily, no traveling in regards to my daughter. camp is over, and my wife and I, we are so lucky because when the school season ended, we said, what are we going to do? And we gave my daughter a few options. You know, we had swimming, we had camp, we had, do you want to just do dance? And she said, you know, I want to do camp. And when you enroll a child, and our daughter is 6 years old, her birthday is actually right around the corner. When you enroll a child into anything, you're like, are they going to like it? Because if they don't like it, they make sure that it becomes your problem. And so after the first day of camp, I remember my wife and I, we do drop off and pick up. I think I want to say I picked up my daughter and I'm like, how was it? And actually, I do remember because my wife's like, you know, I just want to do drop off to go in there, introduce myself. All that good stuff. But so my wife did early morning drop off. I did pick up. And when I picked her up, I'm like, how was it? And my daughter said, I loved it. We had so much fun. The breakfast was amazing. Lunch was so great. Snacks are so fun. And she's kept that enthusiasm. It's been a long day. Throughout the whole camp. And I'm like, I cannot believe our luck. Because usually when she's in kindergarten, we have to make a lunch for her. We have to pack her backpack. It's just like, you know, it's one other thing you have to do. It's not a lot of work, but it's one other thing you have to do. And there's been some times where I've been so overwhelmed with work, and my wife included, like, okay, did we pack a lunch? Where now in the morning, as you're trying to get her out the door, you're also packing a lunch. It was like to pack the lunch the night before. But she loved it, and it's bittersweet. Camp did come to a close today. However, next week, she starts school back up. So she's really excited about that, and she will be in the first grade. And it had me thinking a little. Again, like I said, for those of you who've heard previous episodes, I was born in Haiti to New York. No, actually, born in Haiti. I always forget Florida, and I think that's intentional because it's one of the... Actually, I'll keep my opinions to myself. Anyways, Haiti, Miami, and then ended up in New York, and then we settled in Massachusetts, Boston. And I would say Boston because, you know, for any audience listening, they don't want to hear the name of your town, okay? So in Boston, I'll never forget. So my daughter is one. My daughter's going into the first grade. She's 6 years old. And I'll never forget being in the second grade. I want to say, second grade. Or maybe it was the third grade. And I remember getting one of those transformers where it had two pieces, right? So it would transform, but then you had the head of the transformer, which also you could flip to be a pilot. So it also became a human. And it was one of the greatest toys I've ever had growing up, was that transformer. I want to say it was a jet, and then once you transformed into the jet, the head became a pilot that sat in the little seat. And I remember being in the second grade and like bringing that to school with me. And I kind of get my dates confused in regards to second grade, third grade, fourth grade, because just moving around, going to different schools, looking back, it's all kind of blurry. But it's just so fascinating, like how I grew up compared to how my daughter is growing up. And I want to say, what grade were we in? I would have to say we were in the third grade. I was in the third grade when I lived in Cambridge, and I grew up in the Three Towers in Cambridge. And the Three Towers, it was no joke. Like, I'm talking about, it was just bad news. You hear about, like, hey, this place is tough. And again, in Cambridge, I don't know how the Three Towers are today because all of Cambridge is you can't afford to live there. But when we were there, it was straight hood. And I say that because we had to walk to school and we had a bully running around. And this person was like, this is way before I saw, was that movie with Kevin Spacey, Kaiser Soze, Usual Suspects. And so you hear like this myth about this guy, you know, like this person might as well have been Kaiser Soze, just a mess you hear. And I'll never forget, you know, we're walking on school, and I'm in, we'll just say third grade for the sake of this episode. Walking to school, and we'd hear, and this guy had a really, really cool name. And I'm not going to say his name over the air because I don't have permission. But he was a kid, and this was a bad kid. And so you hear, hey, did you hear what happened over the weekend? Yeah, he got in a fight, and he ended up, like, stabbing a person. And I'm in the third grade listening to this as we're heading to school, and there was always a convenience store where this person, who literally was like a Kaiser Soze, would be. So I'll never forget, I'm walking in to, because we had to, they were working. So my dad's like, you figure it out. How are you going to get to school, okay? And so it was my brother and I, and I don't know, my sister was old enough at the time, but it was my brother and I, and we'd walk to school, and you'd see people like, hey, so-and-so, yes, they stabbed somebody this weekend. Like, it's crazy. And I remember looking at this person in the eyes, because they're in the grocery store, and they were, like, in the process of, like, you know, stealing a few things. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and you could just tell this dude was, like, the real deal. And so I looked at how I had to go to the second or third grade compared to my daughter growing up. It's night and day, but at the end of the day, that's really what you work hard for. Until this day, I know this person's name. I've said it a few times, and people are like, oh, man, you remember that guy? And this is in Cambridge, so I can imagine where he is today. And I hope he's doing good. But just to show you the kind of neighborhood that I grew up in, we lived on the 15th floor, so we had to take an elevator up. And I'll never forget, you know, after school, I'm actually by myself, and I'm in the elevator, and this kid walks in, and he's like, yeah, where do you live? And I'll never forget this. My apartment number was apartment 15F. And I go, I lived on the 15th floor. And I was smart enough. I was street smart enough at the time not to give the guy my actual apartment number. So I go, I'm on the 15th floor. He's like, yeah, yeah. So he gets off a couple floors before me. And as he's getting out, he looks at me. He turns around, looks at me. He goes, I'm going to get you tonight. And I don't have nightmares because, you know, I'm way past that. But to this day, I'll never forget how terrified I was. The place was just wild. But anyways, I say that because just a trip down memory lane in regards to just where my daughter is, in regards to going to school next week, everybody's excited. Whereas when school started for us, it was literally every man and lady for themselves. So times have changed. Funny story. So I was having dinner the other night, you know, with the wife and the kid, and the kid was out playing, and my wife said, okay, I was reading a really funny study. And I go, get out of here. What's the study about? And she said, it was about birth control, but she said, it's just a bizarre study. And with my wife, she is a professor, early child education development, author, clinical writer, all that stuff. So she said what stood out to her in the study was, and I'm telling you, untangling audience, this is going to be crazy when I say it to you. So the study was women in birth control, especially after Roe versus Wade have passed. So the study was you had a guy and a female in their job, and I'm not doing the study any justice because I didn't read it. And so I'm just paraphrasing what my wife told me. So the guy would go up to a girl and ask the girl on a date, and once they went on the date, see how far it would go, including the question of, you know, actually sleeping with a person. So then you have a female researcher who would find a guy and go on a date and see how far it would go with her partner. So what's so interesting about this study is that the study found, and there was a lot of researchers, okay, I'm just breaking it down to one guy, one girl, going out, seeing how far they would take a date. And a question was literally sleeping with that person. So what the study found was when a female, and she asked me, my wife asked me, she was when a, she goes, okay, so when the female approached a guy, out of all the guys, how many of them do you feel said, so my wife's asking me this question, how many of the guys do you feel said they would sleep with that woman and go the next step? And I looked my wife right in the eyes and I said, that number has to be 100%. And she starts laughing, right? So a girl researcher goes on a date with a guy, pushes it as far as she could go because it's part of the study. How many guys would actually say, yes, I want to sleep with you? I felt like that number was 100%, but it turns out that that number was actually 80%. Okay, girl, guy. Now, for the guy who was part of this research, and again, there's a lot of them, I'm just using one example, who went on a date and was able to get to a point where they're able to ask the question of being able to take the next step, which is sleeping with that female. How many, what is the percentage, and my wife asked me this question, what is the percentage of women do you think would say yes to that answer? And I said, 0%. No, yeah, I said 0%. And she said, close, 10%, okay? So now the study also, when it's done, they interviewed men and they asked them, based on this study, what percentage of you think that a female asking a male to sleep with them, what's the percentage that the male would say yes? And every guy in the study, 100% of the men said 100%. The male would agree to sleep with the female. And they said, no, it's 80%. So every male was shocked and they couldn't believe that number wasn't 100%. And so they did the same thing. When the study was done, they asked the females, hey, a guy approached a female, took it this far, what percentage do you think of the females would actually sleep with this guy? And every woman said less than 2%. And they go, no, it's 10%. And the women were outraged, like, you're telling me 10% of women would sleep with a stranger? They couldn't believe it. So I couldn't stop laughing because it shows you the different thinking of men and women. And one of my wife's biggest takeaways from it as well is clearly when it comes to that kind of stuff, women have a lot more at stake and they have to be more rational in that moment than men. So we can stop laughing, and it is a fascinating study, and I wanted to share it with the audience because I'm still in shock about it, that if a female, you got to that stage, okay, and the opportunity presented itself, and everything's on the up and up, you know, single, that number for men saying yes to women wasn't 100%. 80% is a high number. I just figured it would be 100%. So with that, what else is going on? Just watching a little bit of preseason football, and it is just, it's brutal. One of the games I actually watched was Green Bay, and it's actually on right now versus the 49ers. And my biggest takeaway from this game is, if you're a team like the New York Giants, how aren't you making a move for a quarterback like Love on Green Bay? I'm watching this guy throw the ball behind Aaron Rodgers, and I'm like, this guy, he's a real deal. I'm like, am I the only one seeing what I think I'm seeing? And the stats will say he had 3 interceptions, okay? If you watched the game, literally all 3 balls went in and out of the receiver's hands. Okay, 2 of them in and out of the receiver's hands, and the 49ers picked it off. The third one, the Green Bay Packers wide receiver caught it, and the 49ers guy literally muscled it out of his hand and ran the other way. So it was one of those games where, with Love, his scrambling ability, the way he throws the ball, I'm like, somebody has to make a move for a person like Love. And then you have Jimmy Garoppolo out there. But just been, you know, paying attention to football here and there. So a lot going on in regards to that. What else is going on? So Russell passed away. Bill Russell, the greatest champion there ever was. And they decided that they're going to retire the number 6. And part of that stipulation is retiring the number 6 is, you know, LeBron James, I want to say he wears 6. I want to say LeBron wore 6 and then he wore 8 at some point. It might be a different number, but LeBron James wears 6. So far, I want to say the rule, because of LeBron James, any player wearing the number 6, they will be grandfathered in. But the number 6 in NBA history and in NBA future, not history, you will never be able to wear that number again. And with Bill Russell, I mean, you want to talk the winner of all winners. What this guy has done on the basketball court, it's unprecedented. And it's so fascinating, because I'll never forget, I went out to San Francisco to visit a friend, and I remember seeing San Francisco State College, and I was sitting there thinking, and I'm like, that's where Bill Russell, and this was a long time ago, I want to say this was 2008, 2007 maybe, who knows, 2009, all these years are running in together. And I'm like, that's where Bill Russell went to school, and I was just blown away. And what's even crazier is, so I had no intentions of ever moving to Illinois. It just wasn't on my radar. But my girlfriend, fiance, now wife, decided, you know, this is where she wants to live, and the rest is history. So in the pharmaceutical medical device field, living in Illinois, part of my territory was Terre Haute, Indiana. And Terre Haute, Indiana, it always kind of threw me off, because they're an hour ahead, because they're on East Coast time. And so it was a lot of planning in regards to daylight savings, what time is it over there. But long story short, so I end up in Terre Haute, Indiana, and I see Indiana University, Indiana State University. And I'm sitting there, and I just parked. I start walking around the campus, and I'm like, this is where Larry Bird went to school. So it's crazy just being able to travel the world, San Francisco, Bill Russell. I'm a huge Celtics fan. I end up in Terre Haute, Indiana, where Larry Bird went to school. So being a Celtics fan, it's so crazy how you run into these little, like, I don't know if it's a coincidence, if it's just like what you call it, but hey, this is where it all started. It's really, really cool to see that, because watching Larry Bird play as I was growing up, I couldn't tell you where Terre Haute, Indiana was if you gave me $1 billion. And to be able to go to the Indiana State, see the exact same campus where Larry Legend walked around, it really is mind-blowing. The other thing, you know, I'd like to discuss is the stock market. I am doing great. I'm actually in a very interesting predicament, because 2 years ago, not even 2 years ago, I could actually tell you the exact date. It was on November 3rd of 2021. I thought it would be a good idea to get into AMC, and AMC is one of the meme stocks. I can't even say it as an investor with a straight face. I decided to get into AMC, and at that time, I purchased AMC at $27. Long story short, for the next 8 months, I want to say AMC was trading at $11. So I was taking a pretty hefty haircut on AMC, and my only dream was to just get out of this awful meme stock. And so in the last 3 months, AMC has really turned things around. I had a chance to just listen in on their conference call, and it was one of the most bizarre conference calls I've ever. It's not even a conference call. It's their earnings calls. Okay, I'll give it the proper respect. It was one of the most bizarre earnings calls I've ever been on. The CEO, his name is Adam. His last name slipping my mind right now. And he's just a great guy. I mean, if you want to purchase something, if you wanted to, this guy could sell you anything. So he gets on the earnings call. You know, he starts talking about AMC, Maverick, Top Gun. I can't thank you enough. We did it. $1 billion and growing. And then the AMC earnings call gets even more bizarre, where Adam starts saying Wakanda Forever because Black Panther 2 is coming out. And you can just tell the people investing in it, they're fired up. And he's just like, you know, anybody who tried to short AMC today, we pounce. And what's fascinating about this is, if you're an investor, there's two rules of thought, right? One is hype. The other one is show me the returns. Show me the numbers. And there wasn't a lot of discussion in regards to the numbers. That came later. But it was a lot of hype. And you're like, wow, maybe owning this stock is a good idea. So I'm telling you this story because the stock just surged, and AMC announced that they partnered with, I want to say it is Uber Eats, who knows, to deliver AMC popcorn. They have an AMC credit card they're working on. All these other avenues to generate extra income. And I'm not doing the conference call any justice. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing and giving everybody an update. And then I'm just like, wow, you know, I bought the thing at 27. It's trading at 25. I'm in the clear. And personally, I'm willing to take a hit to get out of this mess, because there's a much safer mutual fund that I would personally rather be in. And so I'm like, man, I'm close. And then he announces, hey, for being a loyal AMC shareholder, on August 19th, we're going to release APE shares. So it's a dividend. So they're not he said they're not going to dilute the shares of AMC. So it's going to operate like a dividend, where you're going to get, for every AMC share you have, you're going to get an APE share. So now I'm kind of stuck, right? I did the math. I'm like, okay, for the purpose of this podcast, I said I have 200 shares. And I don't have 200 shares, but I'm just, you know, for the purpose of this podcast, let's just say somebody has 200 shares. And if you stick around, they're going to give you another 200 for free. So it really makes it hard to walk away, especially after 8.5, 9 months when they make this presentation. And I'm laughing because I was talking to a real close friend, and I'm like, you know what I'm done with? I'm done with stocks that have to run gimmicks. I'm done with stocks where there is, hey, but there's more. I'm just done with the gimmicks. You know, at my age, I simply want my money to work for me. And if I can get a 6% return, I'm going to be honest. If I could get a 3 to a 6% return, I'm going to be extremely happy. If you hear any scratching in the background, that's actually my dog, Cheeto, my French Bichon. And so you'll hear him scratch every now and then in the background if you're able to hear it. But yeah, so I'm just trying to get out of AMC. I have AMC and just one other individual stock I'm really trying to move out of. But more to come in regards to that. And the untangling audience, my advice is this. You work extremely hard for your money. If you're going to invest, stop playing games. Stop chasing coins that you don't know what they do. It's very simple. Buy Bitcoin, buy Ether, okay? Ethereum, call it a day. Don't overthink investing. If you do not know what you're doing investing, you call Fidelity and you say, I want your S&P 500 stock ETF. And whatever the S&P does, your stock will do the same. Okay? That's how you do it. Stop chasing dreams. Case in point, a company came out last week. They're called Magic Empire. And they went public at $4. So everybody loaded up on Magic Empire. Went public on Friday. By the end of the trading day, from $4, it was trading at $197. So everybody starts buying at $197, buying at $197. And I'm watching this after hours, going up. So everybody got it at $197. They're getting a deal because this thing's well over $200 now. Monday hits and all the smart people sell Monday morning the minute Wall Street opens. They sell. That stock right now is trading at $8 from a high of over $197. And you're going to get two sides to a story here. The first side you're going to get is, I won the lottery. I got in on the thing at $4. The other side you're going to hear is, I've made the worst decision of my life. And in 5 billion years, I'll never be able to recoup this loss. Going from $197 to $8. And what's fascinating about this stock is, it's actually a $4 stock. So if you know what you're doing, you would actually wait till it comes back to $4 to buy it. So I'm just done with the gimmicks. I'm done with the pump and dump schemes. And that's enough in regards to the market. So for the untangling audience, we'll close the show in regards to what is happening with Donald Trump. So when this news first broke that so here's what happened. Donald Trump decided to go on Truth Media because he wanted to. Donald Trump saw an opportunity to use what happened as a fundraiser, okay? So no one in the world knew that on August 8th, the FBI went to Donald Trump's house with a warrant, and we did not know for what. So in usual Donald Trump fashion, he gets on Truth Social. And first and foremost, I don't know who's on Truth Social. Like, I'm like, is it even real? Okay. But apparently it is because, you know, the news media who wants to keep this guy in business, they talk a lot about it, you know, because they're trying to get people over to Truth Social. Because with, you know, the news media, you don't know what's their agenda. You don't know if they're getting a cut on the back end in regards to guiding people to this platform. You just don't know. But Donald Trump posts on Truth Media, the FBI raided my house. I can't believe it. I'm being under attack. And so now, by doing that, he kind of puts the FBI in a predicament. Because it was like, how could you raid this guy's house? He's an ex-president. This is a third world country. It's a banana republic. You can't do that to an ex-president. And, you know, I had a few friends. They reached out. They know how I feel in regards to somebody like Donald Trump. They go, what are your thoughts? And I said, listen, it's the shell game. It's the hustle. I said, if you've ever watched Law and Order, anytime a basic show like Law and Order, you know, paying attention to the details. Any episode, what's the first thing they do? Hey, here's the warrant. And you'll see them handing it over to the other person, like, so happy. Here you go. I've also seen other episodes where in Law and Order, they knock, hey, could we come in? And what would the person say? Do you have a warrant? And they said, no, but we'll make sure we get one from the judge. And so people are like, you know, what do you think about Donald Trump with what happened? I said, what he posts is one thing. Why does he just send a picture of the warrant? Okay, so this is around August 10th when, you know, the news really starts to break with what's going on with Mar-a-Lago and the FBI raiding. And to be honest, nobody knows what's going on. And so now Attorney General Garland, he's in a predicament. He has to come out. He has to speak. So I'm working and I get a text message. Hey, Garland's gonna speak this afternoon at 3:30, which is 2:30 my time. And I'm just like, this is crazy. And to be honest with the untangling audience, the first thing that went into my mind is, you know, I have my daughter in camp, is I'm going to put this on. And I had a work meeting at the same time. You got to love corporations, right? The country is about to go into a civil war. But remember, you can't miss that 2 o'clock meeting. Yeah, we know the attorney general is about to speak, but make sure those Excel documents are here on time. It's just like, hey, this is unprecedented. In the history of this country, nobody has ever experienced what we are going through right now. And that is a fact. So when I got the text messages like, hey, Garland's about to speak. The first thing that went through my head is, do I have to leave right now to go get my daughter? Because this country might be thrust into a civil war. Okay, that's where my brain was at. So I put it on. You see Mayor Garland come out, and very professional, a lot of authority. And he's just like, listen, you cannot challenge the integrity of the FBI, that here is actually what happened on this date at this time. A legal search warrant signed by a federal judge was signed and executed on the property of Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And here is the outcome. And I can no longer respond in regards to this matter. However, when you question the integrity of the FBI, the people who work hard, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, Garland handled it like a true professional. And he said the exact same thing I said way before I knew what was going on. Donald Trump has the ability to show everybody the warrant if he decides to do so. And with that, we are going to file for this information to be released through a judge. And I'm not getting into the legalese, again, just paraphrasing. And I said, that's exactly it. So what Garland did is he put the ball back in Donald Trump's court and said, you have this information. Why don't you tell the people why we're investigating you? So today is August 12th, 2022. We find out that this is in regards to espionage. This is in regards to destroying federal classified information, along with a slew of other charges that carry 20 to 30 years in a federal prison. I mean, it is crazy, crazy times. And I had people trying to kind of like rationalize this. Well, he took those boxes, it was declassified, and I've always, you know, people are very interesting. They always try to complicate things more than they need to be complicated, okay? And what I mean by that is this. In your current organization, walk in there with a USB drive, download all the company's private data information, PHI, okay? And I'm in a hospital, so we also have to follow HIPAA guidelines. Download it all on a USB drive, and I want to know how it ends up for you. There's chances not only will you get sued, depending on how much information you're able to gather on that USB drive, they can have you arrested. So why is it that we have laws in place for the average folks working hard, grinding, busting their tail, who could barely afford an attorney? And then you have a person like Donald Trump, who's either the most unluckiest person who ever lived or is a criminal, okay? So there's two options. You're either the most unlucky person who ever lived, because he seems to be around a lot of crimes that are taking place. And how I grew up, if you're around a lot of crimes, that makes you a criminal. And I know people are trying to change that definition for me. It will never happen. One of my greatest instincts is I can see a dirtbag from a mile away. It's one of the best instincts I was born with. And so why would anybody defend this person when for you, it would be prison? In the military, if you take a classified document home, you not only world of hurt, you're looking at a minimum of 15 years in federal prison. Let that sink in. And people are feeling sorry for a billionaire who just struggles to make the right decision when it matters. And all these people who are like, oh, coming to his defense. The only intelligent person I heard was Senator Scott, a Republican out of South Carolina, who said, you know what, let's just wait to see what we're able to uncover. Let's see where this investigation leads, because right now we really don't know. And I said, why can't people do that? And that's how you know people are in a cult, because there are a lot of people who would disown a family member for a lot less. So what is going on in this country right now? It's beyond insane. And I told you, I have stopped talking to a lot of people because of what happened over the last 6 to 7 years in this country. I've always said, if you struggle to make a good decision, and I learned this from my mother and my father, remove yourself from that person, okay? If you see a person, they just struggle to do what's right when you need to do what's right, remove them from your life. It's that simple. Then you have a lot of people, no, you know, I see so much potential in this person. You have a lot more time than I do, because I know that, you know, life is short, life is hard, and if you think I'm gonna bring on another adult to teach them the right way, you're dealing with the wrong person. So this is an absolute fiasco. I'm not going to comment on what is going to happen, what I think is going to happen, because at this point, we clearly don't know. We just know that a ex-president thought it would be a good idea to bring classified information to his place of residency. I'm watching the news and they're saying this stuff out loud, and they said, I'm holding a search warrant, a copy of a search warrant for the ex-president of the United States. It hasn't been sunk in yet in regards to what's happening. And again, being born in Haiti, I remember when I was born, my fondest memories was we were part of the Papa Doc Duvalier days, where it was just anarchy. And I know how fast things can go south based on how I was born, how I was brought up. And I'm telling you, we are in very interesting times in this country. With that, hope everybody has a great weekend. Can't thank you enough for hitting over 1,000 downloads. That number is going to keep growing. And have a great rest of your weekend. And it looks like football is right around the corner. Talk to you soon.
As king, we the soldiers, ultra beam out the solar. When I get to heaven's gates, I ain't gotta peek over. Keeping perfect composure when I scream at the chauffeur. I'm just focused. Put a lean out slower, got us clean out of soda. Before the flood, people judge, they did the same thing to Noah. Everybody wanted Yandy, the Jesus Christ did the laundry. They say that we start on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Won't be in bondage to any man, John 8:33. We the descendants of Abraham, yea, shall be made free. John 8:36, to whom the Son set free, is free indeed. He say the wretch like me. Hallelujah.